So the parables are about Jesus's stories. So the kind of the title of this whole series is The Parables, Jesus the Storyteller. It could have well been called Consider This, because that's what I see. When I see a parable, Jesus is saying, think about this, consider this. And he's usually challenging them to think in ways that they wouldn't normally think, so that they could do things they wouldn't normally do. But the parables are not just children's stories. Parables weren't spoken to children. They were spoken to his disciples. They were spoken to the religious leaders. But it was the idea of taking simple things and explaining them in a way for people to understand. The parables are stories that Jesus told to a particular audience to make a particular point. I had one seminary professor say that in every parable, as you look at the parable, you need to look at how is God represented and how am I represented? Or who am I in this parable? Jesus uses common situations to teach spiritual principles, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, some have called it. Sometimes they must have seemed like riddles, almost too simple. And so the disciples in one passage in Matthew 13 basically say to him, why are you speaking in these stories? Why are you speaking in these parables? And he responds this way. He says, this is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see, talking about the people. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. He goes on to say, their hearts have been hardened. Their ears have stopped listening. And their eyes have closed off. They're blind. They no longer see. He teaches these great truths about the kingdom of God and the life and what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. But because the people he's speaking to are looking deeper, they're looking at every word, they're looking at every nuance, and they're trying to compare it to what they already think is the truth, they miss it completely. It goes right over their heads. And yet, as we tell the stories of the parables, and as I was talking with Nicole, the kids get it. They get it. They understand. They understand what's going on. And so there's something there. So in this series, my hope is that you would rediscover the simple and the uncomplicated truths that Jesus put out there in his stories. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. You can turn in your Bibles or your electronic Bibles. We're also going to have it up on the screen. Let me read it through first once. He says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The whole point of this is about shine. It's about shining. And so many of us have heard this story and have taken different things away. But I want to challenge you to think of it in a new way. Put away all the presuppositions and listen to what God might be saying to you about this. Now, it seems like a pretty simple idea, city on the hilltop. Everybody can see it. Sure, we get that. Back then, they would absolutely get that. They would understand that. But let's look at what was happening before, where Jesus was, who he was talking to, what was happening, the context of it all. This is all part of the Sermon on the Mount. And at the Sermon on the Mount, which we've often heard about, blessed be the poor in spirit, blessed be the merciful, blessed be the humbled, okay? Jesus basically is, there's people following him. There's always people following Jesus. And so they're following him. He goes up on a mountainside And his disciples are following closer, and he turns and he speaks to the disciples. So first, this passage, along with the Sermon on the Mount, is to his followers. He's not to the multitude. They might have heard of what he was saying, but what he was really instructing it to was to his disciples. So he gathers them together. So these are people who believed in him. These are people who wanted to learn from him. These are people, his disciples, who were following him no matter what the cost. So he begins to teach them what matters to God. In a message, it's a sermon, and it's on the side of a mountain. No big deep thinking there, Sermon on the Mount, because that's where it happened. And the things that he's saying and the disciples are hearing are the opposite of everything they had thought. All the priorities had changed. He tells them, God blesses those who are poor in spirit and need God. That he blesses those who are mourning over a loss. He blesses those who are humble, merciful, good hearts, who work for peace, who are persecuted or hurt, who are mocked and made fun of because of what they believe. He says, these are the people that God blesses, God comforts, and God protects. Then he moves on to this idea of being the salt and the light. He tells them they're able to make a difference, so be salt. Because salt doesn't lose its taste. Once you add salt to something, or add too much salt to something, you can't add something else to balance it out. It is salty. It is done, right? If the old pranks they would have in high school in the cafeteria where they'd make the top real loose, and so somebody would go and put some salt on, and it would spill all over the place. It's done. It's salty. And what he's saying is you're never going to lose your saltiness. And then he focuses, and this is where we're going today, on what it means to be the light. He says, you are the light of the world, and a city on a hilltop, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. He's saying, my followers shouldn't be hidden. My followers shouldn't be hiding away, shouldn't be testing the water to see what's safe before they do what I've called them to do. Instead, we should be able to know his followers from a distance, that they stand out, that they stick up because of what they do. Now, in that time, if he said city on a hill, they would totally understand that, because a lot of cities were built on hills for the purposes of defending it. See, if you were up on a hill, you could then see any armies that were looking to come your way, that were looking to cause you harm. So they would put them up on a hill. Jesus saying, we need to be like a city on a hill so everyone can see us. Then he goes on and he says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So consider this, saying, who lights a lamp, a lantern, and then puts it underneath something? Doesn't make sense. The disciples have got to be thinking, well, that defeats the whole purpose. Who would do that? That's ridiculous. Why are you even telling us these things? And then they're probably thinking, wait, did we miss something? Does he not mean a light? Does he mean something else? And again, when you start to look too deep, you miss it. Jesus' message is not complicated. It's not. It's hard to follow at times, but it's not a complicated message. And they go, yeah, it's right. That's why we have these lampstands, right? So if we take a light and we put it down on the floor, it's going to kind of illuminate this area. But if I hold it up like this, it's going to illuminate a larger area. So, okay, we get that. Light's important because it helps us see. I don't like the dark. I don't like the dark. I don't like the dark for a lot of reasons. I don't like the dark because I had three kids at one point, now all three adults. But at one point, you know, scattering things around, and if I was walking around in the dark, I was going to step on something. I was going to trip over something, right? I don't like the dark because as a kid myself, my siblings, I'm one of six, would hide. And they would hide in the closets. And they would do this around bedtime, right? And so as we would go to our rooms, they'd jump out. So I don't like the dark. Because we can't see where we're going in the dark. We can't see the obstacles that are ahead in the dark. We can't move forward in confidence in the dark. And again, the disciples must be thinking, well, yeah, we put the light on the lampstand. What's your point here? What are you really trying to tell us here? They don't see it yet. Then he continues, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Did you get it? He talked about a city being on a hill like a light. He talked about a light being on a lampstand so that it can shine. Then, instead of light, he talks about my followers' good deeds. Let your good deeds shine for all to see. And then everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That was his point. That's where he was going. And he started with something simple, something common sense. And then as they're kind of following along, yep, we get it. Okay, what's the point? Your good deeds need to shine like that city on a hill. Your good deeds need to shine like the lamp on the lampstand for the purpose of giving God the glory. Not me. I don't get the glory. That's not what he's saying here. He's being really clear. You're the shine in what you do in my name. You are the light, so that it'll bring praise to God. We're being different to make a difference for God. And it's interesting, he doesn't say, so that you will praise God, so others, those watching, look what you did. Wow, why'd you do that? Well, I know your story, so there's something different about you. What's different about you? And as a result, they praise God. The good that we do in Jesus' name brings praise to God. That's the challenge. That's what he's saying to us. We're to shine for Jesus, because then like Jesus, we bring praise to God. Each of you who have made a choice to follow Jesus at some point in time, a personal choice, church can't make it for you, parents can't make it for you, grandparents can't make it for you. It's your choice to say, I believe who you are, I put my faith in you, I trust you, and I turn over my life to you. Carry the light of Jesus. Every one of you carry the light of Jesus. You say, well, what difference can one light make, right? It's pretty bright in here. You can kind of see it, right? One light, one good deed, what difference can it make? It does make a difference to who you give it to, but when we're together and we show love to somebody, when we're together and we show compassion for someone, when we build unity instead of staying in separation, when we reach out when somebody's hurting, when we love someone just because Jesus loved us, when we help somebody out, whenever we do a good deed, and those deeds are to love others, we shine. And though one light may not make much of a difference, together, right? A bunch of us, even in these little lights, can make a difference, right? We can shine. And that's what he's saying, that we together are a city on a hill, up here like this. Let your good deeds shine so that others will see it. Others will get to know your story, and they will praise your Father, your God, above all else. One light can make a huge difference. And together, we can light up a whole city and make a difference for Jesus. But sometimes it's hard to share our lights. Sometimes our lights need to be recharged and re-energized. It needs to be strengthened. Your light's dimmed. And if that's you today, you need to go back to the source. There's an opportunity as we're here together for healing. There's an opportunity to be able to be re-energized with the source as we worship, as we gather together, as we listen to God's word with open ears, that we're not like the religious leaders with closed ears and blinded eyes, but saying, no, Jesus, show me what you have for me today in your word. It takes awareness to be healed when you're drained down. It takes openness, and it will require you drawing closer to Jesus. Say, well, I might not feel close to Jesus right now. I'm worn down. I'm exhausted. Go and tell him that. Find some time. I don't care if you complain to him. David shows us that we can complain and rail and be angry even and frustrated with God. It's okay. Anything you say and communicate to him that's from your heart draws you closer to God. But in order to do that, you need to stop. You need to slow down. You need to spend some time with him. So whether you need to complain to him, whether you need to confess to him, whether it's something that's holding you back, whether it's things you're carrying from the past that he's forgiven, but you're still carrying it, well, then go back to him and confess. Say, I know I'm not supposed to be carrying his backpack. I know I've been forgiven, but I keep bringing it back. I keep bringing it back. Then you need to go to him and you need to tell him. If you want your light to be re-energized, you need to go to him and get out everything you're hanging on to. Listen, this pandemic, for some of you, it's got to be extremely frustrating. For some of you, you might have lost jobs or jobs might have changed or you don't know what's coming next. And nothing's normal. You need to go to God. So I want to close our time in doing that together. Can we pray for each other, even right where you're at? Just listen for whatever's in your heart that you need to share with God to unburden so that you can be re-energized. Listen for names that the Spirit might put on your heart that you need to then contact this week. Because if he's put a name in your heart, it's because he has a task for you to do. That's how we become the body. That's how we become the lights. That's how we bring praise to God. God wants to bring your light back, to bring it back stronger than it ever was. It's the same individually, and it's the same for this church. To do that requires healing. To do that requires seeking God individually, but together.